Our second scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 1 to 5, which can be found on pages 6 and 7 of the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. Jesus said, "Do not judge, so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged. And the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take out the log of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, if you were here last week, you'll recall what we're about to go through. And if you are here this week for the first time, we entered into a conversation, a message series, celebrating the fact that while we are imperfect people, we are loved by a perfect God who meets us right where we need to be met in our lives. And that God also cares about our progress. Now, when you take together the fact that God wants progress in our lives and that God has given to us grace, yet it leads us to be reminded of the ground rules for this conversation about progress in our lives. So if you would, please indulge me, perhaps this week and maybe next week, we'll see. But please repeat after me the ground rules for this conversation. God will always love me no matter what. Okay, I did say please repeat after me, if you don't mind, please. Please repeat. God's love is not contingent on my actions. God's love is not contingent on my actions. God cares about progress in my life. God cares about progress in my life. Now, when we can keep all these things together in tension and in collaboration, we get a sense of how God is at work in our lives, the ways in which God is calling us into a blessed future where we make progress in the growth that God wants for us. Now, growth can be painful at times, as I can attest to. Growth can leave us with memories and scars, but growth can also leave us with a sense of how God's at work in our lives. And I recall a time in my life when I found myself presented with the pain of progress. Now, this happened when I was doing an internship during grad school. This would have been in the spring of 2010, so nearly 18 years ago. You think I could, no, or 19 years ago. You think I could do math, but that's not my strong suit. I'm a pastor, not a mathematician, so we'll keep that in mind. What? Thank you. You know, God meets us right where we need to be met, and apparently I need to go to school with my kindergartner son. Can we thank the choir for their beautiful music today? Now, so yes, in 2010, which would have been 8 years ago, wow, I'm doing great math now. I remember I was in this conversation with my internship supervisor, and I found myself in a conversation with him where he was presenting my end-of-the-year review. And of course, I'm grateful to say that he had some nice things to say, some encouragements. But then he got to that area of room for improvement. We're about to enter into the evaluation cycle for our staff here at the church, so I don't think any of them are here today, so I can tell you that they are experiencing some of these things again for themselves. I'm sure you have too. But his name was Christian Andrews, and Christian got down to the part where room for improvement. Now, I'm going to tell you what he said in a moment, because I'm still working on these things. But what I can also tell you is that I still remember exactly what he said. Because the pain of that moment, good pain, progress pain, stuck with me. It's in that moment when you find out that there's a log perhaps in your own eye that you weren't aware of, or perhaps you thought was a speck, that we have a sense of how God might be at work through other people to help us know where progress needs to be made. And so I remember sitting in a coffee shop with Christian, and he looked at me and he said, "There's one thing I'd like you to consider going forward. And that there are times where you might know the right thing to say, it might not be the right moment to say it." I still remember to this day when he told me that. You might know the right thing to say, but you don't always know the right moment to say it. He went on to give me a specific example where I was asked for some feedback, and in that particular moment, I would have been wise to hold that feedback to myself and perhaps give it to him at a different time. It wasn't about him, it was about a group of people. But in the moment, I thought, oh, they're asking me for my feedback, and so I'll just be honest, and I'll just be completely transparent. Now, transparency is good, honesty is good, but at the right time, at the right place, in the right moment, adds up to a better sense of these things. And I can still remember what he had to say to me that day, because that pain of that moment left me with a memory of the progress I needed to make. Because there was a log in my eye that I wasn't able to see. There was a log in my eye that had escaped my vision, and I perhaps at that time was more focused on what might have been a speck in other people's eyes as opposed to the thing that I needed to work on the most. At that time, and still perhaps is true today. Now, this moment where we find ourselves confronted with the progress that we need to make in our lives, the progress that God wants for us, because God loves us enough to meet us where we are, but doesn't leave us where we're at. God moves us forward into the future. There's these moments of pain where we find ourselves confronted with this opportunity to either make progress or to pretend that what we're being told isn't true. And one of the ways that Jesus taught his disciples and his followers at the time about during his earthly ministry about this was through this teaching that we heard a moment ago about the log in your eye, the log in my eye, versus the speck in our neighbor's eye. Now, this is one of those plain teachings of Jesus where we get the reading and we hear it and we might wonder if there's a moment where we're going to learn something that changes the understanding of this particular teaching of Jesus. And I'm happy to report and also challenged to report that this is one of those moments where Jesus spoke very plainly. Jesus was speaking in a way that can't be misunderstood, and so we have to look deeply into what Jesus was teaching to his disciples. And as the people who followed in the disciples' footsteps, even today, still speaks to us. Now, in the midst of what Jesus is teaching, this particular one part of his teaching in Matthew comes to us from the Sermon on the Mount. And this part of Matthew is directed at his disciples, but it is also directed then for the people who are listening in on the conversation or the teaching. This is one of those times where we can see that Jesus was talking to those that were already following him, but also inviting those who might be on the outside considering it, or those who were looking for a way to find out how to find a way to trap him, to get him arrested, or those kinds of things. There was a mixture of people there, but his primary audience was the disciples. And so there was this conversation that he was having with them, and there was this conversation at large about this challenge of being judgmental, and specifically amongst the leadership of Israel at the time. So in the backdrop of this teaching, the disciples would have heard this particular moment and heard it in context of a challenge that they were facing perhaps, but also one that was facing them from the outside. Because the disciples were finding themselves subjected to some judgmental behavior from the religious leadership around them. And the reality was, Jesus would have been aware of this, and they would have been aware of it too. And so in that context, Jesus then shares with them this important teaching about paying attention to the log in your own eye before you turn and look at the speck in your neighbor's. Now, they would have heard this in the context of what they assumed was an emerging leadership role for themselves. They would have thought that by the time Jesus was done with his work, perhaps they didn't think that he was going to die, but they would have understood that at some point that if he ascended into power, that they would have gone with him. They would have become his cabinet, his leadership. And so they would have heard a message in there of condemnation, really, of the religious leaders around them, but yet also a forewarning of the role that they would play. And in the midst of that, Jesus elaborates and helps them see that it being a person of judgment, being a person of condemnation, is a dangerous place to be. Being a person who is condemning in their assessment of others is not the kind of person that Jesus was calling the disciples to be. Rather, Jesus was calling them to be people of grace, people of patience, but yet still being people of discernment. And this is the tension that Jesus invites us into in this moment where he teaches us about an opportunity for progress. Now, the disciples would have been able to unpack all of that almost instantly upon hearing it. I imagine that they would have felt a sense of twinge in themselves as well, that they probably had a moment or two where they were like asking themselves, man, was I judgmental? Was I extending myself into a place where only God belongs? Or is it possible that I have something to think about as the person that needs to make progress in my life? They would have then thought about the way in which they would want to do things differently when they became people of authority and got into positions of leadership. But yet also, Jesus then gives them a sense of how to go about evaluating their own life and going into the work of helping others. And there's an important distinction that Jesus draws here, both in what he thinks and encourages them to do, and also then how to go forward in this. And this is where I think we can learn for ourselves and from this passage about the ways in which Jesus calls us to make progress as well. It's interesting because Jesus doesn't dismiss this process of discernment or this process of evaluation. What Jesus is dismissing in that moment is discernment in the name of condemnation, judgment in the name of dismissing individuals. What Jesus is helping them see is that there is a place for discernment, but there isn't a place for judgment. And there's a very important distinction between the two. And I can't unpack all of it, but let's just say that in the religious context, and perhaps for us today, the role of judge is the one that belongs to God alone. We're not the ones who understand the full picture of what's going on. God does. And so when we can reserve the seat of judge for God, then that moves us into the place where we belong, which is a spot of discernment. Not the one who is going to decide the verdict upon someone, but rather one who is going to come alongside the individual, come alongside the people in our lives, listen for ourselves about a faithful and effective way forward for our journey. That's where discernment comes in. Judgment is to seek a way to condemn. Discernment is a way to seek a way forward. And so Jesus was encouraging his people, his disciples then, and us today, to be people of discernment. And as people of discernment, one might look at the log in their eye before they worry about the speck in their neighbor's. Now, this is a literal metaphor that has a metaphorical application. It's one of those times where Jesus meant, wasn't hiding something in his words. He meant for the people to think about on some level. We all know what it feels like to have a speck in our eye. Hopefully no one knows what it feels like to have a log in their eye, but if we know what a speck was like and we know what a log is like, we can imagine the reality of that experience and that metaphor. And so what Jesus was commenting on to the disciples was the fact that it's true that we have logs in our eyes. It's true that our seminary internship supervisors will bring out the heavy guns in the moment when they're appropriate and remind you that you have a log in your eye when you might have been looking at the speck in somebody else's. And the reality is Jesus is encouraging us to own the fact that there is a log in our eyes before we move to the fact that there might be a speck in our neighbor's. Jesus wants us to be honest with the fact that we need to make progress in our lives, that God wants us to make progress in our lives, but God wants us to focus on our own log before we move to the speck in others. Now, this is one of those times where I think Jesus gets us a little bit uncomfortable. This is one of those times where I think we wish that there was an out in this moment. But the reality is, God wants progress in our lives. God doesn't want us to be perfect upon arrival. God wants us to make progress, and I think this is an area where we can take seriously what Jesus has to say, and it will help us make progress. So this is also one of those times where we hear the words of Jesus, we hear them repeated to us in the Gospel of Matthew, but yet also we wonder, okay, what does this look like in our daily lives? How is it that we can go about finding our way forward into a more faithful future? And in the midst of the way Jesus teaches this, I think it leaves us with some ways in which we can consider how we can make progress on the log in our eyes, and perhaps also by indirect effect, help others with the speck in theirs. And the first part of this is to just be honest with ourselves that we have logs in our lives, that we have logs in our eyes. There are things that we need to work on that require God's grace to help us move forward. And so when we can first say to ourselves, I'm not perfect, that God is making me more perfect day by day, we can acknowledge that the internal focus, the focus on ourselves, is not a selfish one, but one that's actually going to help us to be a better blessing to the people around us. So the first thing that I think Jesus is encouraging us to take a look at is just to be honest about ourselves, that we're not perfect, but we need to make progress, and that God wants progress in our lives. And if we can find our way through that first step, then it leads us to the next one, which is a way to see that if I'm focusing on the log in my life, then I'm not going to focus on the speck in the other person's life. This is pretty clear, but let's go through this just for a moment. If you're focused on the way in which God is calling you to make progress, then you're not going to be focused on the way that God might be calling the other person to make progress. Now, that's one of the, another way of saying we know that the person next to us needs to make progress. You know, unless you're sitting next to my wife who's teaching Sunday school, she has this thing figured out. No, I'm just kidding. But the reality is that we all need to make progress. And if we can focus on the progress that we need to make, it'll allow the person next to us the space that they might need to focus on the progress that God is calling them to make. Now, the beautiful thing that might happen is if you're focused on improving yourself, if you're focused on improving, perhaps it's not just for you, your family, because if you're a parent then or a grandparent, it's reasonable to say you might be looking at a little larger group. But if you're focused on yourself, and if you're focused on what God has for you, then that will keep you examining the log in your eye and not as worried about the speck in your neighbor's eye. The other thing that'll happen is if you continue to take a look at the log in your eye, you'll make progress in your life. You'll be able to point to the fact that it's God who's making progress in your life, and then the people around you will see that. And if you make progress, which is what God wants for us, remembering that God's love for us is not contingent on our progress, but God still wants progress, then other people will ask themselves, how can they get that in their life? If you're becoming a person that is more filled with God's best in this world, what we call the fruit of the Spirit, if you're becoming more filled with love, if you're becoming filled with more with joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, aren't the people around you going to want that too? And if you're focused on your journey as an example of how God loves you, then they are going to want to know more about that. And once they've moved and once we've moved, if you're on the other side of it, once we've moved into that place of curiosity about how the person in our life is making progress, it opens up an opportunity to talk faithfully, with love, with compassion, because then they're in a place where you've been working on the log in your eye, maybe you've made progress and can see more clearly a little bit about the speck in their eye. Now, these are the things that I can say that I find in this story that Jesus gives to us, this teaching about how to make progress in our lives. The last thing that I want to say is about this and offer up in the context of this scripture is that this larger teaching that Jesus gives to the disciples about this moment of judgment also is something that we can look at together in a group and in community. This is the thing that is a little bit lost in us as Americans when we, and Westerners, as we read this story, there's a sense of hyper-individualism that we bring to the reading of Scripture. Now, at times, I will confess that I bring an extra lens to the individualism about with which we can apply the Scriptures to our lives. And that's a good thing because God wants us to work on ourselves individually. But yet also, in the context of most of the Scriptures, God is speaking to groups of people as well. And this is one of the things that is important here as well, is that this role of judgment and this role of discerning is not just one that is something that applies to our lives individually, but also is something that can help us in the groups that we find ourselves in. So whether it's here as a part of a church, whether it's in our homes, whether it's in our work, whether it's in a civic organization, whatever group of people you might find yourselves in, there's also a word for all of us in the way that we interact with each other in groups. And that Jesus is calling us to think about the ways in which we are entering into this conversation discernment as well in the group setting. And I think if you've found yourself in a position of leadership, this might also have a special word to you as well, because there's a sense in which that as leaders, there's an extra layer of responsibility and an extra layer of expectations that comes with this. Because if you're a person of influence over a group, then it is also in this group context that you can find yourself needing to make progress. I find myself, and this is how I can speak to it, with times not having made progress and wanting to apply this sense of moving forward and moving in a sense of God's faithfulness and judgment, and rather, in discernment and not judgment. And so the thing that is paramount in this teaching from Jesus for us in the group setting is to remember that we are wielding great influence, that we find ourselves in positions of authority, and we want to help people to find a way forward and not to find a way to stay where they are. That in groups and in our way that we lead people, the way that we encourage our families, the way that we might encourage someone in our work environment, that God is calling us to be people of discernment and not people of judgment. to be groups of discernment and not groups of judgment. And the same thing that's true about how we apply this to our own lives can be true about how we apply this in the group setting as well. That we can find ourselves needing to pay attention to the growth that we need to make as a group before we look across and say, talk about the growth that another group needs to make. That there's plenty of journey to go, plenty of miles to walk for us in the group that we're already in before we cast judgment across the way to another group that might be at a different place in the journey. I think this can help us guide us in many areas of our lives. I think this can help us apply not only this lesson to ourselves, but to the ways in which we impact other people in groups and at large. Jesus doesn't want us to stay where we are. Jesus doesn't want groups to stay where they are. Jesus wants us to make progress. God wants us to be people that are filled with peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness. God wants us to engage this growth in a time of discernment and in not a way of condemnation, of judgment. And so we can hold this all together. God helps us to make progress in our lives, and in turn, He'll help us make progress in this world. It is a great gift to be loved by a perfect God, even though we're imperfect people. A perfect God who calls us to examine our own lives and find growth, calls us to examine our own lives so that we can become the people God wants us to be. So let us cling to that grace, and let us cling to that hope we have always. Amen.